Rory Schultz is a Deputy Chief Information Officer at the Food and Nutrition Service, the Agriculture Department, and you and I have talked about innovation for, I don't know, four or five presidential administrations, it seems like.
Absolutely.
What are you hearing here at this conference that's different about innovation, if anything? If so, what? And if not, what do you think it's going to take to break the logjam before so we can stop talking about innovation as some grand idea and start talking about how we really accomplish something through innovative means?
Right. So this event is all about change, right? And I mean, that's what it's been. It's been around for over 20 years now. So we're here to talk about change, learn about change, figure out the hard way of doing it, because at some point in time, even though you may have a great theory of how innovation works and how change works, some of us in the federal government actually have to figure out how to take that theory, put it into a process, and then make it something that's repeatable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that I think, you know, talking about barriers, is I think it's tough for the federal government to change quickly, because we have so many processes that we have to follow by law, right? Mm-hmm. We have so many oversight commissions that we have to talk to by law. I mean, and that's all to ensure transparency to the citizenry. So it's tough for us to change quickly. So when we can change quickly and figure out a way to do that, that's when you have real innovation and real change in government. There are some places where it's starting to happen. But like anything, it's going to take a while. And, you know, you look at what used to be a gas station, then it became a convenience store. Mm-hmm. Now it's sort of everything. I mean, way back in the day, that was the local blacksmith shop, right? Mm-hmm. So everything has to continue to change over time. So with change agents who are in government now and are starting to make some differences, I think we can actually make – that's how we break through that logjam and how we actually turn theory into practice, into process.
I predict that change agent will be the big buzzword in our space in 2015 and 2016. What do you think makes a good change agent? What does he or she do besides just overturn the apple cart?
Yeah, as you were saying that, I was thinking about what's the difference between change agent and disruptor, right? Because disruptor was the big thing last year, and I was great to hear that, because I'm like, wow, all these years I just thought I was an idiot, and you know, now I'm a disruptor, and now I can be a change agent. But one of the things that you have to do is you have to be not afraid to take some risks. It's okay to take risks, and oh, guess what? It's okay to fail occasionally too, because you find out that that's not a way to do it. There's this famous quote about Thomas Edison where he was asked about, I heard that you tried 500 times before you actually had a working light bulb, and you know, that seems like a lot. And he said, no, I know 499 ways not to make a light bulb now. Mm-hmm. So it's a great example for what a change agent is like. They just keep plugging. They're not afraid to fail.
Have you seen you and your colleagues more willing to do that? I mean, the stereotype is, even in IT and government, people are very risk averse. Yeah. And I hear a much greater discussion around risk management, not just in IT, but all across government, than I probably have in the last decade. Do you see a nexus there? Is there a connection?
Yeah, I do think, and you know, I do think that that's the case, and I think you're on to a trend there. But I will also tell you one of the things that I do like about ACT IAC, and I will plug them here. It's a little bit unique in that they encourage collaboration between industry and government, and that's a great thing to do. I'll give you a tiny scoop. We have a brand new professional development organization that we're standing up. We're going to announce it, I think, at lunch today, called Champions, which for the first time is going to put C-suite and SES people together in professional development. They can talk one-on-one, unencumbered, and really try and make some change.
And that will drive what, in your view? What difference will that make? What's the outcome that we'll expect to see
from
that?
So instead of the we versus they, it will be us together. You have to, I think, with change, have willing partners in industry who can sometimes do some things that we can't in government, who can make some of these changes for us and then sort of drag us along with them as they do it. Mm-hmm. But this is a great way for people to actually exchange ideas and for them to really talk unencumbered with you know, so often there's a contract that's in the way and you have to follow this and you have to follow that. This will let senior executives bounce ideas off of each other and say, hey, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, we can't do that, but here's another good idea.
It sounds like the same type of collaborative relationship that we see in the Voyagers program, Partners program, just at a higher level.
Yeah, it is. And that's kind of what we built this thing on. You know, 2 years ago, one of the things that we talked about was we're missing the top and the bottom. So mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, we started the associates, which is for people in their first 5 years. Now we're filling out the top end, which is the champions. And these are going to be the senior level people who come to me all the time and say, hey, how come there's not a program for me? So mm-hmm. now we got a program for them.
What makes somebody a good candidate for something like that, either on the industry side or the agency side?
Again, someone who's willing to take a risk, to make change, to be a change agent.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who wants to continue their professional development. You know, one of the things that senior leaders often do is they don't have enough time to sit down and talk with each other. They're so busy managing their projects, their programs, their agency, that they don't have actual time to talk to each other. So this is someone who wants to continue their education, even though they're already exceptionally successful, and maybe learn a few new things
mm-hmm.
and maybe give something back.
Mm-hmm. How do you structure something like that so that it's not just another meeting or another obligation or another council? You know, there's a lot going on already, especially with somebody at that senior level.
Yeah, so, and we realize that, so that's why we have meetings once a month. We start with a one-day offsite because we figure we can't pull them out more than that.
Mm-hmm.
We have a one-day session in the middle where we talk about trust, which is something that all senior leaders have to have. And then the individual things that we talk in between, some of them are curricula that we've set up that we think senior leaders should know. For example, how do you talk to the press? How do you talk to Congress? Things like that. Other things will be the class themselves will decide out of a range of things.
I'm available if you want to have me come and talk to the folks about how to talk to the media.
I will as soon as we get to leadership folks.
You used a word earlier, Rory, that I think is really good and should be used more when we're discussing innovation and finding solutions to big problems, and that's repeatable.
Mm-hmm.
It fits the shared services model. It fits a lot of the initiatives, but it also I think fits very well conceptually. Define in your mind how that applies to IT and government, that word repeatable, and also what good implementation of something that's repeatable means. Is it absolute carbon copies, or is it building a framework that's transferable from one organization to another, can be tweaked? Refine that a little bit for me.
It's oddly enough, it's kind of both of those things, because let's take commoditized email, right? I mean, 5 years ago, we all did our own email. Every single stinking little agency in the government did their own email. Now, most of the big agencies are on one email system, regardless of what it is. It might be Google Mail. It might be Outlook. But it's all managed centrally from one location.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We took those folks who were dedicated to doing that, repurposed them, retrained them. Now they're doing something completely different. The one thing Mike Walsh said in his discussion this morning is, what jobs are not going to be here 5 years from now? Well, that's okay. You got to go into it with a mindset where you're ready to take on another job someplace else to learn something new, which goes back to my other point. But
mm-hmm.
To not get off the topic on you, something that's repeatable has to be something that it can't be so specific that you can't take it somewhere else. I do think there's going to be changes. So the way we have, for example, Outlook implemented at USDA is different than the way Treasury has implemented Outlook,
mm-hmm.
right? There's a lot of stuff that's the same, but there are some things that are different. So there's a little bit of the framework. There's a little bit of the where it's correct, it's carbon copy, but every agency is different. And if there's nothing I've learned in 30 years of government, it's that every agency is different, and you have to learn the culture of the agency that you're going to.
Mm-hmm. Are you comfortable that some of the initiatives that are coming along, FITARA and some of the others, give everybody the flexibility that they need to be able to report back and say, well, we here's how we're doing this, and we're also... here's our other things in another column that we do because we're a little bit different than everybody else.
Yeah, well, FITARA, it's a whole new reporting system, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're all still trying to figure that out and say, you know, how do we report on this? We will eventually figure it out, and both to the satisfaction of the folks that we need to report to as well as to our own satisfaction so that we don't get ourselves in trouble by doing something the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But it's a new process. It's a new procedure. So it's a change, right, which is what we're talking about. So we got to figure out how do we adapt and overcome and figure out a way to innovate and make that change work for us as well.
Always great to talk to you, Rory. Thanks for your time.